You know what it is today? It's Super Tuesday, it's Tech Tuesday, and it's Midwest Independent Film Fest Tuesday.
Everything converges at once. There's so much going on right now. Our friend Mike McDonald is here.
Mike McNamara is here.
Mike McDonald is here from the Doobie Brothers to sing you some songs. Mike McNamara is here from the Midwest Independent Film Festival.
Should have charged you for that.
That was not a bad impression, Mike.
I pretty good Michael McDonald.
That was outstanding. It is the first Tuesday of every month, and it's great, and we have you on every month to talk about the films, all locally produced, of course.
Yep. Very unique festival. We're all year round every first Tuesday, and we only show films that are produced in Chicago and in the Midwest. And
hence the name.
Yep, hence the name. There it is. And tonight we have the Chicago premiere. This is your only chance to see this film on the big screen. You can't see it anywhere else. And it's called Killing Them Safely, and it's a pretty controversial documentary, and was actually produced by a Chicago native who's now in Columbia, Missouri. And I decided to bring him in and
would
have him tell
you about
it.
Would that be Nick Berardini?
That's him.
That's me, yes.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. We saw the trailer for this. It's short, yeah. I'll tell you that. but it definitely piqued our interest in finding out more about this whole taser industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the interesting thing is you say it's an industry, and what very few people really understand is it's not an industry. It's one company, and it's basically three guys sort of pulling the strings.
That was shocking to me.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting sort of backstory about how they were able to make these weapons that were in circulation for about 20 years, but just weren't very effective, about how they made them effective and then fought, you know, vigorously to maintain their patent. And I think it's very safe to say they're the most powerful company in law enforcement, because they're also the market leader in the body camera stuff right now.
Is it such that they hold the patents to this, that nobody is opposing them and doing different versions of the taser? Is that what's
going
on there?
People tried and they failed in court because this company is really, really, really sharp with their litigation strategy. And they were able to sort of keep everybody out for a significant enough time that people stopped trying, basically. Yeah.
When was the taser first introduced, and for what purpose? For policing?
Yeah, well, the original inventor was this guy named Jack Cover, who was a really fascinating NASA scientist. And back in the 60s and 70s, with all the airplane hijackings and all these things, he thought this would be the perfect sort of weapon that would start to phase out guns as defense, as home defense, or like if you're a marshal on an airplane, you don't want to put a bullet hole in, you know, the plane. So this could be the weapon that you would use. So it was initially intended sort of as a civilian device, but they ran into a lot of regulation with the ATF because it used gunpowder to fire. And so it was regulated as a firearm, which meant people had to become trained and get permits and all those things. So it died out sort of as a civilian model, but it was repurposed eventually for law enforcement use. And it didn't
by this
really,
company now
yes,
that has
it. Yeah. And it didn't really work at first. Jack Cover did try with a couple other companies to make it for law enforcement, but they weren't strong enough to be effective in the field regularly. And this company came along, made it very, very effective.
The word taser is Thomas A. Swift's electronic rifle?
Yeah,
is that what
Thomas A. They changed. He added the A. It was based off the book Tom Swift and His Electric Rifle, which was written by Victor Appleton as a series of sort of like the first young adult novels. They were these sci-fi books. And the original title of our documentary was Tom Swift and His Electric Rifle, because we wanted to, you know, throw a hint that the good guy, you know, or the guy that invents the technology is always the good guy. And that's very much what this movie is about these men who are tracking sort of the decisions they made over 15 years, trying to justify them, trying to, you know, to still see themselves as the good guys.
And the taser is relevant today for everyone living in Chicago.
Hugely
right?
relevant.
With everything. I mean, that was part of the reason we were like, now's the time to show this film. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Producer Brock Williams, we've shown some other films that he's worked on. He's also with you in Columbia, Missouri. We're like, now's the time. And you talk a little about that.
Yeah. What's frustrating to me is Chicago has already done this. Chicago expanded taser use in 2010, 2011. Dan Hinkle, the Chicago Tribune, among some others, wrote really great pieces about this expanded taser program didn't reduce shootings at all, and led to for the way I would put it is, you know, for every Laquan McDonald where the hypothetical situation presents itself for this weapon, there is at least 1,000. I mean, just based on the numbers of how many times it's used, probably much, much more. The ratio is much, much higher even than that, probably, where people are tasered for passive resistance. And that's exactly what happened in Chicago the last time they expanded taser use, because over 15 years of really wide circulation, anyone who keeps track knows they don't reduce deadly force. That's just not how they're used. The hypothetical idea is really right, but in practicality, they're not good weapons to reduce deadly force because they're electric, so they can misfire.
Yeah.
They require officers to shoot and make contact.
So you have to be pretty close.
Yeah, and in dynamic situations, it's pretty easy to miss. So really, that's just... they're adopted under the wrong premise. The premise is, do they reduce injuries to suspects in the field? That's much more controversial because there's an argument for it, but I don't think it's a great argument.
All right, let's take a quick break. We've got Mike and Nick here from the Midwest Independent Film Festival. We got to get another Doobie Brothers song from you before this is over, Mike. I insist.
Yeah, I'm gonna be there.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That's my favorite.
All right, we'll take a quick break. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. They had to play that song twice for me.
Double the pleasure, double your fun with Mike McNamara of the Midwest Independent Film Festival, which is happening tonight. Mm-hmm. We are talking to Nick Berardini, a Lake Forest native who is the director of Killing Them Safely. It's about tasers, and I don't think they're good for you.
Yeah, it's well, what's really striking about the film is we made the film from the company's point of view because it's more a movie about Taser International and these men than it is about tasers, because the use of force debate around how to use the weapons is so complicated. We made the movie really for police officers. We wanted to say, okay, you guys can sort out what is important to you, but you only get one source of information. All the training for this weapon is controlled by the company, who obviously has a vested interest in it being used and sold. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot left out in the training material that's important. And this movie, the way it's so structured, the way I think it's really interesting, is that because it's from the point of view of the company, as it sort of gradually builds out, it's not attacking, you know, from the outside in. It's sort of gradually attacking from the inside out. And I think a lot of police officers, a lot of them have seen the film and really enjoy it because it takes their perspective into, I would say, the most consideration. You know, we're trying to be really thoughtful about what the job is actually like and how important it is that they know what they're dealing with.
So the taser company cooperated with you to mm-hmm. some extent, mm-hmm. but then when the final product is done, do they look at it and go, uh-oh, I don't like the way we look at
it? No, they never even looked at it.
They didn't.
What's so interesting, too, is that, you know, it's a movie in a way about a cult, and movies about cults are fascinating.
Yeah.
They have an absolutist culture where if they accept any criticism, they'll basically have to accept all criticism.
Yeah.
And the reason is because the only thing that matters to them is police departments. And if police departments start distrusting them, it's a floodgate, right? So basically, they didn't even, as far as I know, maybe they watched it secretly or something, but in every response, they've been really vocal about responding to a lot of the press we've gotten about the film. I mean, even as far as like the vice president of communications commenting in the internet comments on articles about the movie, because they can't, they just don't want to see what they've become.
Right.
Because if they do, personally, on a human level, maybe they'd have a nervous breakdown, you know, about the collateral damage they've caused. But also, if they start to accept that criticism, then the law enforcement agencies who've been trained, this does not kill people, will start to now really question that really absolute stance that they've had from the beginning.
Yeah.
I know tasers are based on electrical current, which is what your brain is, which is what your heart is, which is how your body functions. I know people have been killed from the tasers, which doesn't surprise me. You think about all that.
Right.
But what are the lasting effects if you don't die from it? There has to be some kind of residual effect.
Yeah, there was just actually one of the most interesting studies done, because it is true. Like, it's rare that somebody will die. There are two things to consider. The first thing is it worth subjecting the person to the pain? Because you assume, of course, like if they live, it's still a very painful experience.
Sure.
Did you get tasered when you were doing this? Because I want to know just how painful it is.
I didn't fall into that trap, luckily for me, because they've used that in the past. A journalist will come in or a critic will come in or somebody and they'll say, well, if you think it's so dangerous, why don't you get tasered? And then they do. And then they use that against them and say, he thinks it's so safe or she thinks it's so safe, they got tasered.
Yeah.
But the big thing is...
the old, why don't you get tasered?
Right, that's a funny game.
And it's funny, but
great
like...
That's a show on the game. Game Show Network I watch.
You know, what was so effective was they would take these police officers in training and taser them for a half a second or a second or whatever, and, you know, sometimes the full 5 seconds, and they would show them how powerful it was. But they would limit all the circumstances in which you might be killed or injured, and people right. still got injured in training. There were a lot of officers who ended up fracturing backs and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why they're not, the training is not mandatory anymore. Officers don't have to be exposed anymore. But so you would take these officers, and it is a funny situation. The film lays out through the first 15 minutes how it took off, and it was like Hangover style. They would take these, you know, officers into training. They would taser their buddies in the back. Everybody would laugh, and they think it's, you know,
that's
it's disarming.
A good time.
And then they go out into the field, and they taser somebody for 45 seconds, and the person dies, and they throw their hands up like, what the hell?
How'd that happen?
So there's the length of time that people are being tasered, which is really dangerous and also extremely painful. But a recent study from Drexel also just came out showing that it can have significant short-term memory effects, that even suspects tasered and that end up being okay, that don't die or are seriously yeah. injured, perhaps don't even understand their Miranda rights because of what the weapon is potentially doing.
Sure, that makes sense.
It's a shock to the system. I could yeah. see where it would mess with your memory.
Yeah. Are there set? I don't. I'm sorry for not knowing this, Nick. But is there a setting? Like, can you set it 1 through 5 or 10?
No,
it's just one.
Yeah,
you get tasered or you don't get tasered.
One a good time.
Right.
Yeah. But five dead.
There are people who have used this for their own gratification, right? I hear stories
sure.
about. Yeah.
But it's also a different version.
Like sexual.
Oh, here we
believe
go.
It or not,
here we go.
Believe it or
what?
Not.
What's wrong with people?
Back me up, Nick. It's true, right?
I would have to say that's more of a generic stun gun. They yeah. would shock themselves on top of the skin, you know, to kind of get the thrill
oh
of
my
the cattle
God.
Prod.
Really? How about the old-fashioned way? Just have sex.
Who's got time for that anymore? No one's got the time.
Faster. We need to get this moving.
Right.
Well, hey, I'll say this. So killing them safely, you'll see the Chicago premiere tonight. We're at Landmark Century Center Cinema, 2828 North Clark. I have a few tickets left, and I'm going to offer them up to Bill and Wendy listeners right now. Just you can message the Midwest Independent Film Festival on Facebook, mention Bill and Wendy, and whether you want one complimentary pass or two complimentary passes, and we'll have them waiting for you at the theater tonight at 6 o'clock.
All right, real quick, Tim, you're already going tonight, right?
I am going tonight. Hey, guys. Mike, it's Tim Armstrong. How are you, buddy?
Oh, hey, Tim.
Hey, so yeah, I just wanted to shout out that I'm very excited to see this documentary. I was reading about it. Sounds very interesting, and I'm calling to kind of encourage everybody out there listening, go, take the time, join the Midwest Film Festival, Independent Film Festival, and every Tuesday are great events, first Tuesday of every month, great events.
Yeah, we got that covered, Tim, but we're glad you're going.
Appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to meeting you too, Nick.
Thanks, good to meet you. Looking forward to meeting you too, Tim.
All right,
thanks.
One more time, Tim's give out the information for how people can get
Tim
some
Tim has a really
tickets.
Good project he's actually working on about House of Blues that's heading into pre-production.
Can't wait.
But head to, if you want, if you're a Bill and Wendy listener, if you're tuning in right now and you want a couple of passes to see the Chicago premiere tonight, find us on Facebook, Midwest Independent Film Festival, and just send us a message mentioning that you heard us on the air today. Let us know if you want one or two tickets.
Nick Berardini, congratulations, Killing Them Safely. I can't wait to see this. I really can't. Tribeca, it showed there, and where else?
Yeah, Robert De Niro blew me off at Tribeca. That was fun.
No, not bad.
He's a very busy man.
Yeah,
but
I did
get to have dinner in the same room with several hundred other people as him, so that was fun.
That's
Tribeca, hot dogs. It was just a huge hit at festivals all over the country, and now it's going to make its premiere in Chicago tonight.
Midwestfilm.com.
Yep. All right, thanks, guys. A quick break. We'll talk to Steve next, find out what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.